All right, good evening, everyone. It is 6 o'clock and we will begin our presentation.
Okay.
So my name is Courtney Gallagher. I'm an associate and landscape architect with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering firm and landscape architects who are working with Mill Pond LC and Elm Street Development on the subject development that we'll be discussing tonight.
Okay.
I'm joined by some of the management property managers tonight, and I believe later on I'll be joined by the landowner and developer with Mill Pond LC. Tonight we are here specifically to discuss the Mill Pond Apartments project, which is also known as the Elms at Old Mill. Henceforth in the presentation, I'll be referring to it as the Elms at Old Mill, even though your notice letter may have said Mill Pond Apartments. I'll go through a brief presentation and then there'll be an opportunity for a question and answer session. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code, Section 17-2-107, which specifically states that a community meeting must be held within the 6 months prior to the initial submittal of a subdivision or preliminary plan. It is the landowner's intent to submit a preliminary plan later this month for the subject property. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss the proposed improvements, including the proposed stormwater management design, as well as any required modifications, and to give the community an opportunity to ask questions and provide comments. This meeting is being recorded in its entirety so that it can be included on the Anne Arundel County Community Meeting website. I'll go into details about that later on in the presentation. I'd like to say before I get into the details of the project that this project is really at the beginning of the design phase and the development review process. Nothing has been submitted to the county for development review at this point, and we are in the process of finalizing that initial submittal application to the county. That being the case, many of the figures that I'll discuss this evening are approximate and could potentially change slightly before we make that final submittal to the county. But the intent of what I'm discussing this evening is contained in these plans, and hopefully none of it changes, but there's a chance it might change slightly. So first I'll discuss the existing conditions of the site. So the Elms at Old Mill project is located on Granary Court, which is here on the plan, at the intersection with Old Mill Road here at the top of the page. The site is shown on tax map 22, parcel 156, and totals 14.725 acres. The property is bounded by a self-storage facility to the west, private single-family detached residences, and a church to the north, as well as Old Mill Road to the north. And the point at Harper's Mill rental townhome apartments to the east and south. The property wraps around Granary Court, which is a public local road. I just want to be clear that Granary Court is not technically part of this project area. It is a separate public road. The Elms at Old Mill project is a privately owned and proposed project that is being developed by the landowner, Mill Pond LC. Property was recently rezoned to R22, which is a residential zone, with the Region 3 region plan, which was approved earlier this year. The property is currently improved with an apartment complex, the Elms at Old Mill, which includes 15 apartment buildings located throughout the site. These apartment buildings contain 240 apartment units. There are private parking courts and amenity areas also located throughout the site. The areas include a hot lot and dog park, to name a few. Access into the property is provided via Granary Court here at five individual locations. One here on the Mill Dam Court, two at the end of Granary Court onto Waterwheel Lane, one onto Millwright Court built here, and then one onto Mill Stream Court here. The This property is not located within the critical area, but it is located within a priority funding area. There are no streams or wetlands on the subject property, and there is no 100-year FEMA floodplain on the property. There are no steep slopes on the property either. There is a small wooded area here, this kind of south central portion of the site near the tennis court and existing pool that is approximately 1 acre in size. There are no specimen trees on the site. There are no historic resources that have been identified on or in the vicinity of the property. There is a very small area, a couple square feet, of highly erodible soils that exist on the property adjacent to an existing stormwater management. There are no rare, threatened, or endangered species that have been identified on the property at this time. Site is not located within a protected or unprotected green infrastructure network. There are no bogs on or in the vicinity of the project either. All of the site features have been field verified that I discussed here. So that concludes the existing conditions and move on to the proposed improvements to the site. The proposed improvements include the addition of one new multifamily apartment building here in the central portion of the site, which will have a total of 83 apartment units. All of the existing apartment buildings will remain. With the addition of this new building, that will bring the total apartment unit count on site to 323 total units. The allowable density for this property in the R22 zone is 323 units. The 83 new units in this building will include 36 one-bedroom units, 46 two-bedroom units, and one three-bedroom unit. As I noted, this new building here in the central part of the site is located where the existing tennis court and pool are located on site. That being the case, those features will be demolished in order to construct this building, but the pool will be replaced with a new pool that will relate to this new building and be available for the existing residents as well, of course. All of the units proposed in this building, in keeping with the remainder of the site, will be rental apartment units. There is no maximum height restriction in the R22 zone as long as the required setbacks, building setbacks around the site are increased by 1 foot for every 2 feet of height, building height, in excess of 45 feet. It's a little bit complicated, but essentially as long as this proposed building is far enough away from a property line, there's no height restriction. The proposed building will be 5 stories, and the exact height has not yet been determined, but will likely be between 65 and 70 feet tall. In accordance with the zoning regulations, the required setbacks around the perimeter of the site have been increased by 13 feet in order to meet the setback requirement for a building that's 70 feet tall. Access into the development will remain off of Granary Court. However, some of the existing entrances will be closed. This entrance here onto Waterwheel Lane will be closed, and the entrance here onto Millwright Court will be closed. A new entrance will be proposed here, and a new parking area will be provided around the new apartment building. This new parking area will provide connectivity that is being removed from these existing entrances. It'll relink the existing parking areas so that vehicular connectivity will remain throughout the site. So instead of Millwright Court sort of being its own loop here, Millwright Court will connect through this new parking area to Waterwheel Lane through and around. There are no proposed roads with the improvements. But as previously noted, the parking lots will be expanded in order to support the new apartment building. There, in addition to this parking area that's directly adjacent to the new apartment building, there'll be a parking expansion area here on the west side of the site, and there'll be some small parking adjustments here towards the north, here a little further west. Some of that's restriping as well, and I believe there's some restriping occurring over here as well. The multifamily apartments require one parking space per bedroom, not unit, but bedroom. There are 416 existing bedrooms within the 240 existing apartment units on site.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Sure. There are 416 existing bedrooms within the 240 apartment units that exist on the site today. This new building with the 83 units will add another 131 bedrooms, which will bring the total bedroom count on site to 547. This generates a parking requirement of 547 parking spaces. With the combination of existing parking spaces to remain, restriped parking areas, expanded and new parking areas, there will be a total of 548 parking spaces on site. Sidewalks are proposed around the new building, pool area, and parking areas, and will connect to the existing sidewalks on site to maintain pedestrian connectivity through the site as well. The open area requirement for this project is 6.26 acres, which is equal to 45% of the total site area. This plan shows 8.68 acres of total open area. The active recreation requirement for the project is 1.47 acres, based on a requirement of 10% of the total site area. This plan shows a total of 1.47 acres of active recreation, which includes 1.3 acres of exterior land area for active recreation, which is shown here, adjacent to the building here, an area here, and the existing dog park to the north, as well as an additional 0.12 acres of active recreation that will be provided inside the new building itself. The existing wooded area that I mentioned here in the south central portion of the site will be cleared to allow for this development. The project will be served by public water. There's an existing 8-inch main within Granary Court that will be extended into the site to provide service to the new building. And sewer, there's also an 8-inch sewer main within Granary Court that will be extended into the site to provide service to that new building. Stormwater management for the project will be provided in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management design criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. An area equivalent to the total proposed new impervious area, which includes buildings and sidewalks, will need to meet that full ESD requirement. That can be a combination of existing impervious and the new impervious, as long as the total area treated equals the total amount of new impervious area. Stormwater management requirement will be addressed through the use of micro bioretention facilities, as well as structural practices, including bioretention facilities. Those are located here adjacent to the building, here. Over here as well, and then one there. So some of those facilities capture runoff directly from the new building, and some of them treat areas from the existing impervious area on site, existing parking areas mostly, some building areas as well. Microbioretention facilities are small landscape depressions, very similar to a rain garden, that handle runoff from very small drainage areas of up to 0.5 acres. Bioretention facilities are very similar to microbioretention facilities in the way they appear, when you're looking at them, but they can handle a much larger drainage area, over a half acre. Both of these types of facilities are designed so that they will hold water for no longer than 24 hours. The intent is that water will run overland to the facilities and then infiltrate through filter media that's below ground to filter out any chemicals or like nitrogen, different things. Will filter that water, and then that water will have an opportunity to infiltrate back into the ground. Any water that does not infiltrate will be collected into a proposed storm drain that will take that water to the outfall location. Based on initial calculations, peak management is not required, which is it's a quantity management to make sure that there's not an increase in runoff from the site. These stormwater facilities provide enough, they hold back enough water that peak management is not required. However, there is an existing peak management facility on site, a stormwater management pond, where all of the stormwater, proposed stormwater features will ultimately outfall, either via new storm drain connections or connections into the existing storm drain system on site. There is also an off-site pond here to the south that has drainage that runs through the site and into that same pond. That system is currently proposed to be picked up in a storm drain system. It's now what they call an open system. It's an open channel. It will be picked up into a closed storm drain system as part of this site improvement. The proposed limit of disturbance for this project is approximately 4.4 acres. School-age children within the development will attend Old Mill High School, Old Mill South Middle School, and Rippling Woods Elementary School. At this time, all of these schools are open for enrollment. This project is required to address forest conservation requirements. Because the existing forest on site is small relative to the size of the entire property, this site will need to meet an afforestation requirement, which means they'll need to plant up to a certain acreage. That afforestation requirement is 1.3 acres. In addition, because the existing forest on site will be cleared for the proposed improvements, the site will also generate a reforestation requirement, which afforestation and reforestation are both planting requirements. It's just what requirement they're meeting, a lack of forest versus clearing of forest. But both apply to this particular project. The total planting requirement, a combination of afforestation and reforestation for this project, is 2.2 acres. This reforestation, I would like to clarify, is approximately 2.2 acres. This reforestation requirement will be provided with a mix of on-site plantings, utilization of off-site forest banks, and or payment of a fee in lieu. This project will likely require the following modifications. The first is a modification to allow forest clearing. This is a modification that any project that has existing forest and is clearing more than 20,000 square feet of forest, which is a half acre, is required to submit a modification to allow that clearing. So any development project that has woods typically would submit that type of a modification request. That modification will specifically include a request to allow clearing of contiguous forest, which this would be, clearing below the conservation threshold, because the site doesn't have very much forest to begin with. And then potentially that may include also retention of forest areas less than 35 feet wide or 10,000 square feet wide, or 10,000 square feet in area, if we are able to save some small forested areas. In addition, this project will likely require a modification to allow reduced active recreation land area based on providing that deficit with indoor physical amenities. As I noted, this site does meet the active recreation requirement, but technically the requirement is for land area, not building area. So because we're utilizing some of the amenities inside the building, the proposed building, that technically needs a modification to allow that. In addition, we may request a modification to allow reforestation areas less than 35 feet wide and or 10,000 square feet in order to have a greater opportunity to provide some of that reforestation and afforestation on site in the limited areas that we have around the site. So that concludes my discussion on the proposed improvements. I'll very briefly go through sort of the county review process and then the community meeting process before I open it up for questions. So as I noted, we are at the preliminary plan stage of this process, and actually we have not yet submitted for a preliminary plan, but the county has a three-step review process, and each of those steps has multiple, potentially multiple reviews within them. The first step is the sketch or preliminary plan phase. The second step is the final or site development plan phase. And the final step is the grading permit phase. Each of these steps has increasing levels of design and engineering associated with them. As I mentioned, at the end of June, the owner intends to submit a preliminary plan, which is step one in that in the development review process, to the county for formal review. This phase is where stormwater concept, which we reviewed, as well as initial zoning review takes place. Upon the eventual approval of that preliminary plan, the developer could then proceed to step two, which would be the site development plan for this project. This plan, this stage includes more detailed engineering, as I noted. After the initial submittal of that site development plan, the landowner would be required to hold a second community meeting, which at which point we would discuss any updates to the property or to the development proposal, and have the community would have another opportunity to ask questions and provide feedback. Lastly, a grading permit would need to be processed in order to obtain a grading permit to begin construction on the site. This last phase includes sediment control design. This phase can run concurrently with the second phase, the site development plan phase, but the county will not approve the grading permit until the site development plan is approved. This three-step process typically takes between 2 to 3 years, sometimes less, sometimes more, but typically 2 to 3 years. So related to the community meeting that we're having tonight, this meeting, as I noted, is being recorded, and that recording will be uploaded to Anne Arundel County's community meeting website tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, a 14-day comment period will begin where people can review this recording and send in questions or comments specific to this project. Comments can be emailed to communitymeetingcomments@aacounty.org. Any emails should reference Mill Pond Apartments, which was the name used for the original application. Once that comment period closes, 14 days from tomorrow, the development team will prepare and send out meeting minutes, as well as any comments that were received during that comment period and their responses. Once those minutes have been sent out, that will conclude the community meeting process. At that point, the owner and developer would be able to submit that preliminary plan to the county for review. They technically have a 6-month period from today's date to submit that preliminary plan, but as I stated previously, it is the intent to submit a preliminary plan by the end of this month. So with that concludes my presentation. I'd like to open up to any questions from the audience. Thank you.
I had one question coming into it, but you answered it, okay. Which was good. And that was just about just how the storm drain would be along where Millwright is on that side. And you said they're going to end up kind of covering or like kind of.
Yeah, they'll use a storm drain. They'll connect the outfall with a storm drain pipe, and then that'll be covered over so you won't see that.
Yeah.
It won't be that drainage ditch anymore.
That was going to be my question, but you answered it within the presentation, so I appreciate that. I guess my only question is that when they finally shut the, so they're going to shut off that second part
of my question.
question.
About Waterwheel?
Yeah, I was a little unsure about where the traffic for Waterwheel will go, because it's kind of like a roundabout there.
Yes, so right now what'll happen, folks will come down Granary Court, they'll, you know, go around the that traffic circle to the right,
mm-hmm.
and they can go into the first entrance onto Waterwheel here.
Okay.
They can come in and they can circulate through to that second lane, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and instead of being able to come back out
mm-hmm.
to Granary Court, they'll come turn right
mm-hmm.
into this new parking field
gotcha.
And around this apartment building, and that'll continue, and now it'll link up with Millwright Court.
Okay, and then they'll just take Millwright around to Millstream to get out.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yes.
There's also another entrance to the cul-de-sac.
There's another entrance?
To the cul-de-sac, just at the south end.
Oh, yes, correct, right. So if they weren't, for instance, if a driver was trying to go straight to this building, and they could go down Granary Court, around the circle, and then go past Waterwheel and into a new entrance.
They would be able to come back out that
yeah.
around that way. Got you.
Right, so they could actually, they don't necessarily have to go through Millwright Court to get out. They could actually come down and around here to get
got
back
you.
Out as
okay,
well.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have a road name for it right now.
No,
so.
So the pool would be on that side right there.
Correct, yeah. Okay. It'll be very close to where it is now,
okay.
Just a little different shape and a little bit closer to Granary Court,
okay.
between the new building and Granary Court.
So the tennis court's coming down, they rebuild it. Okay.
Will they have to move the Amazon Hub Locker, that
yes.
space?
Oh.
I think we had that noted on here somewhere.
We did take note of that. We did a field survey of
oh.
the parking lot, so
okay.
that is, I believe, accounted for.
It's the use of the pool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah.
Hmm. I'm glad that we do have that 14-day window to ask questions,
mm-hmm.
so that's a good thing too, just in case if any other questions come up at any other time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any like offhand right now. I gotta process it a little bit.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, if there's no questions,
mm-hmm.
I can conclude the meeting, and then again, if residents, they can be directed to check out the website and provide any feedback via the email address, or there's information on the website as well to on how to submit
okay.
comments and feedback. And that website, I did not mention it in my presentation, but if you search for Anne Arundel County Community Meeting website,
okay.
it takes you right there.
Okay.
And again, this project on that website is called Mill Pond Apartments. Though we will be submitting it as Elms at Old Mill for that preliminary plan.
How long is the construction? Do you guys have an estimate on that?
That I do not. That's not, we don't handle the construction portion, so I would be guessing if I gave you
okay.
a timeline.
No worries.
So we could pretty, I guess what we could do is just do maybe like a blast email to our residents and give them the link, because they may have some questions
yeah.
and that they could be able to submit as well.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes,
from their perspective too. So we could do that like tomorrow. You said it uploads tomorrow.
That's
so.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. So we'll do that because I'm sure there will be some questions from their side as the renter as well.
Understood. Great.
Okay.
Well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and conclude the meeting. It is 6:28. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I appreciate
you
coming out.
Thank you
Have
so
a great
much.
Night.
Thank you so much.